podcast with Paul Burkhart.
Hey everyone, this is Paul. Once again, welcome to the podcast. Today I'm thinking it'll be a pretty brief show, but I just want to lay out a few things to kick the podcast off. I'm going to lay out a few foundations just to get a start on the right foot. I want to lay out who I am, why am I doing a podcast, and what will the format of the podcast be. But before we begin, just a brief technological note. I'm using GarageBand on my Mac to record this. And my Mac, I don't know if it just overheats more than other Macs or not, but the fan gets very, very loud. And I've tried so many different ways of recording this, and this has ended up being the best way. And probably here shortly the fan will kick in and it'll get really loud. I think I'll just do this first episode like this, and if it really is that distracting, feel free to let me know and I'll see what other things I can work out to do. But in the meantime, let's get started. First off, who am I? Well, for those that don't know me, which at this point in the podcast will probably be relatively few people, but for those who don't know me, my name is Paul Burkhart. I'm 23 years old, and I'm currently living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas, and when I was about 10, my family moved to Virginia, to a smaller town called Fredericksburg. It's about an hour south of Washington, D.C. Well, I went to college at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia. It's also known as VCU. I was on track to enter this PhD program at VCU. It was a PhD program in counseling psychology, but as I was listening to this pastor in Dallas, listening to some of his sermons online, his preaching kind of stirred in me to go in a different direction, at least for the time being. And it was his preaching that stirred in me the idea to go to seminary instead. So that's why I'm here in Philadelphia. I'm going to Westminster Theological Seminary, earning a Master's of Divinity in Biblical Counseling. I just finished my first year, and I'm going to take a year or two off before pursuing further education. I'm going to work, pay off some student debt, and kind of see exactly what direction I'm heading in. So, whether or not I'll finish up that MDiv or not, is still yet to be seen, but we'll see what happens at the end of that year or two. So, as you may have been able to tell so far, I am a Christian, and have been for a while now. I think in the future I might do some sort of episode laying out my history, my own personal journey in Christianity, but for now I'll just give the broad stroke basics. I was raised as a Southern Baptist in Dallas, Texas. Now, for those who don't know, Dallas, Texas was voted by magazine Christianity Today as the center of the evangelical world. I think the running joke is that it's the buckle of the Bible Belt. I was steeped in the fundamentalist evangelical culture down there, and I completely gave way to it growing up. I mean, everything from the Christian t-shirts, Christian music, posters, movies, all that stuff. All the cheesy youth group stuff that stereotypical of that culture I was completely a part of. And I went to VCU with that mindset. Now, for those who don't know, VCU is a large, urban, secular university, and it holds the values of tolerance and diversity paramount above everything else. This meant that there wasn't too much room for a closed-minded fundamentalist like myself to exist comfortably there. And through the course of my first year, because of the church I was led to and the friends around me that had such differing viewpoints as me and the debates and arguments we would get in continually, I eventually discovered many things that shook my worldview that I carried into VCU. Socioculturally, I found out that science isn't the enemy of religion. Atheists really do think there's no God, and they're not just pretending. And liberals really aren't the minions of Satan I was taught they were. And I learned other things, but those were some of the highlights. Theologically, I also greatly changed. For the most part, most of the doctrines that made me specifically a Southern Baptist-type Christian changed. Currently, theologically and as far as religious beliefs go, I think I would mostly fall into the denomination of Christians that's most commonly referred to as Reformed. This just means that they primarily derive their doctrines from the leaders of the Protestant Reformation, mainly John Calvin. I would say that I'm part of that movement called New Calvinism that's recently gotten some press because of Mark Driscoll and John Piper, And it recently had some article in Time magazine that's being talked about a lot. So, as far as education goes, as my old pastor likes to bring up often, I went into VCU as a psychology and English double major, and a religious studies and writing double minor. This didn't last for too long, and I ended up graduating with just the psychology major and religious studies minor. And as I kind of hinted at earlier, I had no intention of doing any sort of religious education. But nevertheless, it seems like God had other plans for me, and I ended up at a seminary on my way to earning a Master of Divinity in Biblical Counseling. This was very unexpected and very outside of the plan, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly where that fits into my ultimate plan. And my ultimate goal is to do PhD work at a secular institution. Right now I'm focusing my aspirations on psychology, but if I'm honest, I often find myself wandering over to the philosophy, history, and English departments of whatever institution I happen to be on their website. So we'll see what happens. The program I'm currently aiming for, the program that would just be my dream to get into, which it's unlikely I'll get into, but I'm going to try my darndest to get into it, is this PhD program in psychology and social policy at Princeton University. Ultimately, I think as of right now, like the vision, the big idea, the thing that I want to aim for the rest of my life is that I would love to have my own counseling practice and also have the freedom and the time to write, speak, teach, and preach at whatever church I'm at. But I would also love to be some sort of liaison to help form national, international policy that would affect social institutions and individuals affected by them. This is the vision right now, but like I said earlier, we'll see what happens. Okay, well that's it for the little bio. So, now let's move on to answering the question, why would a fundamentalist turned to possible seminary dropout want to do a podcast? Well, actually, many reasons. My original inspiration to do the podcast came from three fronts. Firstly, my realization that there was a huge percentage of articles I've written that would never be read again. I've had my personal blog, The Long Way Home, for about 4.5 years now. Between that blog and others and other sites that I've written for, I have well over 200 articles that I've written. Now, from my own experience, I recently realized that even on a blog that I really enjoy reading, I'll usually only go no more than a page or two into the past archives of that blog to read more of that author that I like. This means that the vast majority of things that that author has written, and by extension what I myself have written, will probably never see the light of day once again. Now, for many of my posts that I've written in the past, that's probably a good thing, but some articles, though, were really helpful to some people when I originally wrote them. And as my blog grows and my potential audience widens, I'd love for these old articles to be of some benefit to others as well. The second thing that inspired me to do this podcast was the fact that I've changed so much over the years. Now, believe it or not, every couple of months I'll actually get an article or a comment on the blog from someone that I've never met before, or someone from far away that was actually helped by some article they found from some random Google search or something. Inevitably, it seems always, the posts that they happen to have read are posts that I really wish they hadn't. They're posts that I wrote in some stage of immaturity and lack of experience long ago, and my thinking has changed so much since then. So, many will probably hear that and say, well, why don't you just take the articles down if you don't really agree with them anymore, you're not thinking the same way. Well, here's the thing. Rather than just take them down, I'd rather somehow add some commentary to the articles. I know that for myself, it's been of great use to talk to people that used to be in a mindset that I'm in now, who've changed and grown and been brought to a different perspective. And as I can see where they went on their journey away from that perspective, I see in my own self how I could go in that same direction. So, in short, I would love to have these articles up that people can read, and then I can add some commentary to those articles to show where I've been since then, where my thinking has gone since then, so that maybe it'll help people also move away from those perspectives that I don't think are helpful. So I guess my hope is that in some way I can take these old articles that don't necessarily represent who I am now, and that I can add something to them that they'll actually be of benefit to someone. Well, the last inspiration for this podcast was the magazine The Economist. They have a podcast, and what it consists is articles from their quote-unquote audio edition of their weekly publication. And all it is readings of articles from that magazine. Before then, I'd never thought of the idea of reading articles. You know, I never thought that would be enjoyable. I never thought that people would want to listen to it, but I found it really helpful and really enjoyable. As I've gone through time and thinking about this and enjoying that podcast, I've realized this could be the answer to the problems I just laid out previously. You know, I could do an episode on particular articles that I've written to repromote the good ones. And on the bad ones, I could do episodes that give people more clarity on where I'm at now and what I've learned since then. I can put a link to the podcast episode on any article that I've done a reading of, so anyone that stumbles upon that article can also listen to the commentary on it. So, those were the inspirations to the podcast. But as we all know, mere inspiration doesn't necessarily cause action. So what were the things that kind of eventually pushed me over the edge, like finally spurred me on to actually do what it takes to put this podcast together? Well, first off, anyone that knows me knows that God really has given me this ability to talk to people in such a way that they're actually helped. This is why I'm doing counseling in the first place. I mean, I've been given extensive experience on communicating and giving, you know, sermons of sorts on the one-on-one level and on the writing level, but not on the large group level. That's kind of the final frontier of communication for me. And the problem I've realized is that because of my successes in communication at the personal level and at the writing level, I've kind of fooled myself into thinking that I would just automatically be a gifted communicator on the group level. And anyone that's heard the two sermons of mine that I've already posted on this podcast knows that's not necessarily the case. Now, from what I've heard from others, and from what I think of those sermons myself, it's not that those messages are necessarily bad in their presentation. It's just that I probably need more experience. I need to relax more. I need to give way to a normal flow of thought more. And just those are things that come with more experience in finding. That's one reason this podcast exists. It's to give me more experience speaking at that non-interpersonal level. To get used to my voice. To find my personal style. To learn how to organize my thoughts when I don't have another person sitting in front of me refining them as I go along. Secondly, it's only been since coming to seminary that the length of my blog post has gotten under control. For the first several years of blogging, it seemed like everything I wrote were these long, drawn-out, complex, multi-part theological articles. No one wants to read a blog post that long, and it took me a long time to realize that. I think that people are much more likely to listen to a 10-minute-long piece of audio than to read that same material that would take them 10 minutes to read it. I think that they'd rather listen than read for that time. And this podcast will give me a platform to get these messages out in a medium that people will actually use and hopefully be benefited from. So, and lastly, the third reason is that I don't know if anyone listening to this knows this, but it is really easy to start a podcast. All you need is a free Blogger account, a free Google feed burner account, and some place online to store your audio, and you have a podcast. really only took me a couple of hours from the initial Google search to figure out how to do this to actually having the podcast up and ready to go. I had no idea it was so easy. So, if I'm inspired to do it, and it's really easy to do, I guess why not do it? So that brings us to the last thing I want to discuss today. What will the form of this podcast be? I'll be really honest with you. I have no idea what the regular form of it will be. For the time being, as I kind of mentioned earlier, I'm going to focus on reading articles from the past of the blog that I thought were really good or really bad. That's probably all that I'll focus on for the time being, but as the days have gone by, I keep having more and more ideas for what I can do with this podcast. You know, one of the ideas is that, you know, every week or every other week, maybe posting up a sermon or some other piece of audio that's had a really profound impact on me historically. You know, and hopefully seeing if other people might be helped by those things as well. Other ideas have been interviews, conversations, discussions, roundtable talks on a certain topic, or just little snippets here or there. I don't know. In short, this podcast is completely open, and I'm really excited about that. I'm glad that starting out, I'm not really stuck to some sort of form. I know people really like consistency and really like to know what to expect, but for the time being, I just can't give that. And I kind of like that. Maybe someday I'll be able to get down a regular interval and a regular pattern for how this thing's supposed to be done, but for now, we'll just see what happens. But what that means is I'm going to need feedback. Feedback and suggestions from anyone that happens to actually listen to these. You can leave comments on the blog that the audio for this podcast is posted on, which you can find at www.prodigalpaul.com/podcast. Or you can also get in contact with me through any of the means of contact or leaving a comment on my regular personal blog, The Long Way Home, which can be found at www.prodigalpaul.com/blog. So, lastly, before I leave, just a few items of business. First off, I once again want to apologize for my technological limitations. I'm very new to this whole thing, and I'm sure the fan on my computer has been annoying the entire time this recording's been going on. I don't know how the audio is going to work once I post it online, what it looks like, what it's going to sound like when I put it through iTunes. We'll see. I'm still learning how this whole thing works, and hopefully over time it'll get better. One specific need I need right now is feedback on the intro music. I'm horrible at judging these types of things myself. I need to know if it works, if it's good, is it of good quality, does it sound rough, does it need some more editing somehow, just anything. Any advice or help that I can get on any part of this podcast would be great, but right now I'm really curious about what people think of the intro music, so any thoughts would be great. Also, for the time being, most of these recordings are going to be done in my bedroom in my Northeast Philadelphia apartment. It's on the corner of a block, so I have two streets next to me. This means that probably quite often, I'm surprised there hasn't been more already, there will be street sounds, there will be cars driving by, trucks driving by, horns honking, sirens going by. Inevitably, I know these sounds will be there. I'll try to edit them out as I can, but I just want to apologize for any distractions it may cause. I know it's not the highest quality, but hey, I'm just starting out. So like I've said the entire time throughout this podcast, we'll see what happens. So, we're at the end. I really can't wait to see how this podcast is used and how it will evolve over time. But thanks for joining me on the journey while we see where it does go. The next episode will be a reading and a discussion of the first blog post I ever wrote. All those years ago, as a freshman in my honors dorm at VCU. If I recall correctly, I think I wrote it in the midst of some emotional turmoil over an argument I just had with somebody. But like I said, we'll see. So, until then, have a wonderful day, week, month, however long it is till I see you again, and look forward to hearing your comments. Thanks.